Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, we have much to discuss today after a little tech snafu there in which Big R was having trouble with his home Wi-Fi. We got to get our boy back out on the road. It's been too long. Big R, where's the next destination, baby?
Yeah, man, I've had about a 2-week break, and then gonna get back out to Florida here.
There you go.
And
you're due to be retreating somewhere shortly.
You know, man, it's been a rough few weeks. Time to get back out to the panhandle.
No rest for retreat, man.
That's right.
Panhandle. It almost sounds like my eschatological position too. So you know,
all rest for retreat, man.
Absolutely.
No work for retreat, man. All rest.
There you go.
All rest, no play. Yeah.
Makes retreat,
guys,
man.
I'm an ideas person. I'm a thinker.
All rest and no play makes retreat, man. I don't know.
It's hard to finish that one. Yeah. Hard to know what
I'm a creative.
I'm a creative. Are you also a storyteller?
Maybe you're a creative. You're a storyteller. You're a visionary. You can't be locked into these, you know, standard 9-to-5 work schedules.
I'm an Enneagram 4. I refuse to be categorized.
Are you? What is it, a resourceful 4 or are you an unresourceful 4?
Believe it or not, it's embarrassing to say this, but I'm a resourceful 4. Yeah.
What's your wing then? 3?
3.
Yeah, that's exactly what I am, baby.
Yeah.
4 wing 3.
An arty person that gets things done. Imagine that.
Absolutely. That's why we're so compatible. That's why we're such good radio co-hosts.
We are. It's beautiful.
That's why you two as 4s could author a book together without just hating one another after. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn. Maybe there was a period of hatred in there.
No, but check this out.
So far, so good.
It's the easiest thing.
Pipe, yeah. That's what's so brilliant. Let's just say it right now. No hype. For the two books we've written together, we literally never got into one argument over any of
it. It was 0% stress, man. 0%.
Yeah,
because we all got everything done on time. You know, there's no sense of like waiting around for the other guy or.
Yeah, there was no. Yeah.
I think part of our fourness, Big R, is the sense that like, I don't know how you work or how you're best managed, but for me, like the ideal scenario is for somebody to just commission me to do something and then completely leave me alone. So, and I think that's how we work together. Like I trusted you to get your parts done and that they would be good and vice versa. And yeah, there's just no sense of one person trying to manage the other. So
yeah, absolutely. I think it was just a sense of like, I like deadlines and it's like, just tell me what you want. Tell me when you want it. And then I'll be able to manage myself. Get to the deliver date and we're good. And I think it's because too, I think we'd done so many projects in our lives and we'd gotten so many things done. There was like this trust
that
was already in place, you know? So it was like, I wasn't sweating anything. I don't think we sweated anything, right?
No, I sweated zero things. Baby, do you remember that cup of tortilla soup we had?
Oh,
Toledo, the Manhattan of the upper Midwest, for starters. Yeah. I mean,
good times in Toledo, man. We need to write a book about the gospel in Toledo.
Yeah, absolutely.
You think Crossway might be interested in that?
Baby, the energy in that town. Unbelievable.
You can sell it at a gospel coalition regional conference in
the
upper Rust Belt regional conference.
A little confab in Toledo. I'm there, man. So gospel coalition guys, Crossway guys, if you're listening, Justin Taylor. And I know you are. We are ready. We're ready to go on that project. And boys, speaking of books, our sponsor today is actually Harvest House Publishers. On behalf of my new book, it's called The Extraordinary Life of a Mediocre Jock. It is a book for kids. This is probably for, you know, kind of fourth, fifth graders, upper grade school level. And it's about a kid going to school, a kid trying to figure out his identity as an athlete and a person and trying to figure out what's cool and how to love Christ, how to have true affection for Christ in his heart when he feels like he actually has affection for all these other things, sports, the girl that he likes, his friends, etc. So it is a graphic novel in that it has lots of pictures and things along with the text, but it is unlike a graphic novel in that no one has any superpowers. Nobody can fly. Nobody can like, you know, break through walls. Unlike our Marvel characters, you know, unlike Retreat Man, the character in my story can't just fly to Naples whenever he feels like it. But nevertheless, it is a good book. It's being received well. I'm having a lot of fun with it and a lot of fun with the people who are reading it. So check it out. It's Harvest House Publishers. The book is called The Extraordinary Life of a Mediocre Jock, And you can get it at a little online retailer that I'm really pulling for. I'm really trying to help out this little mom and pop. I think all the exposure they can get. The URL there is Amazon.com. Again, that's AMA, Amazon.com. Run, don't walk to get your copy of The Extraordinary Life.
We're nothing if not shop local and stand in the corner of the little guys. So I'm really glad you pushed Amazon. They've been hurting. Nobody buys books from Amazon. It seems like the independent Christian bookstores are thriving while Amazon struggles. So, yeah, everybody flock to Amazon, save them, ignore all other retailers.
What they have been – they have been wonderful to work with. I don't know what your experience has been with them, guys, but they have just been – they're lovely people over at Amazon.
Dude, so. Jeff Amazon, seriously, one of my favorite people.
Yeah, just a terrific guy. I mean, all the interaction we've had setting up my little page there, it's just been a delight each and every moment, like this podcast is, boys, and like drinking Lagares Roasters Happy Rant Signature Blend is a delight. Last week, I was a little glum. I feel like I sold them short in terms of the promo, but visit LagaresRoasters.com. Hector and I are we're actually working to get Lagares Roasters coffee into the Jackson General Stadium here, Pipe. So we are going to be the exclusive coffee provider of the Arizona Diamondbacks AA affiliate Jackson Generals. That deal is in the works. We're just putting the finishing touches on that. But if you can't get out to the ballpark, visit LagaresRoasters.com, grab a bag of Happy Rant Signature Blends, and we can get into these topics, boys. We got some fun ones. I want to get us started with a little bit of news, a little current event. That is, one of Trump's staffers was recently kicked out of a restaurant for being one of Trump's staffers. So apparently this person went into – what's her name, Sarah?
Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I think she's the press secretary. She's the one who does all the press conferences. I don't know what her title is. Yeah. Press secretary.
Dude, Sarah Sanders mouthpiece. Is a great name. That's like the name of a girl that we would have gone to college with. You know what I mean?
Is she really a Huckabee? Is she Huckabee's daughter?
I think she's related. We'll go with that. Makes for better radio. So, yes. Yeah. And fact-checking makes for crappy radio. So, let's ignore that.
So, Sarah Sanders, she comes into this restaurant just wanting to enjoy a meal out, an evening out, and a restaurant meal. And she goes in and she is informed by management that they will not serve her. Because what was the wording, Pipe? That she's part of Trump's what kind of regime?
Well, I don't know if it was... I don't know what was said directly to her. That would have required reading lengthy articles. To the press was that because she's part of Trump's, essentially his bigoted and unfriendly and divisive administration, and she's a mouthpiece for that, she's not welcome to eat there.
Fascinating. I don't know how you boys feel, but I think anybody should be able to refuse service to anybody else at any time with no explanation. I like this. It just makes it more sporting. You know what I mean? Like when you go out to eat, you don't know if they're going to serve you or not. So you feel that sense of victory and relief when they actually put a meal in front of you. I think this is a fascinating development. What do you boys think? Piper, you're up on these things. You're kind of a political animal. What do you think about this news item?
I find it fascinating because of the flip side of the coin, which is so – I think it was in Oregon a couple years ago, there's the baker, and this court has gone on, dragged on interminably, who refused to provide a cake for a same-sex wedding. So that is the, he refused service, or they, I think it was a couple. Now we've got another conservative or politically conservative person getting kicked out of a restaurant. And so there's sort of this ongoing thing of you've got a conservative refusing service to a progressive, and then you've got a progressive refusing service to a conservative. Now all sides hate everybody.
Yeah.
And I guess my question is this the shape of things now? Like, is this just like, is this how we want things to be? It seems kind of ridiculous to me when somebody comes into your restaurant, if they're assuming they're abiding by rules of decorum in a restaurant, to refuse them service based on who they are.
So Big R, I want to lay a scenario on you that piggybacks on Pipe's question.
Yeah.
Let's say that you have packed your little rolling bag, you've got your lanyards ready to go, you've checked in through the airport, and you land in Naples, Florida, and you go to a restaurant, and the manager of the restaurant happens to know that you are a wildly successful, famous Gospel Coalition main stage speaker, Crossway author, and therein she knows that you are theologically conservative and that your views differ wildly from hers. And she comes up to your table and she says, "I'm sorry, retreat man. I'm going to have to refuse to serve you your quinoa salad and veggie plate. You're going to have to go elsewhere for that." Like, how does that strike you? How does that feel? What do you think about that?
I mean, dude, that's such a bizarro scenario. You know what I mean? Like, I think the initial reaction would just be like, I feel like I'm being pranked right now. Like, this can't be real. Mm-hmm. But you know, here's the thing. If it was real, if this woman was like totally offended just by my beliefs, by my stance on certain things, even though, you know, hopefully I've been polite to her and I planned on giving her, you know, my standard Ronnie Martin 45% tip.
45% Judas H. Priest.
You know,
it's a lot of money in church planting, Ted.
It is.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's sojourning. A lot of cash. It's just rolling around. Yeah. It's just flowing like mud. But I don't know. I don't know that I would do anything other than, oh, okay, just get up and go to another place. I don't feel like I would be indignant about it or outraged. It would be so confusing to me. I would need time to process it because I'd be very like, okay, startled. What just happened? Right. Because like, it'd be such a weirdo thing to have. I mean, you'd be just looking around you going, wait a minute, what am I missing here?
Yeah.
You know, I think you would just be so like flabbergasted that I would just be like, can we chat about this? Oh, we can't. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm just going to go. I mean, you want me to go? I'm going to go, but I don't think I would go to the press. I don't think I would make like a thing about it because I honestly wouldn't really care.
Would you immediately go write a 12 reasons why I was refused service for my conservative theological beliefs article for,
no, you know what I would do?
I would
email Joe Carter and I would say, hey, here's 9 things that happened to me today at the restaurant. Why don't you do a TGC article? And then
he would say, I need 3 more if it's going up on the Gospel Coalition.
He only does
it's not. A little short. It's a little thin.
I mean, I'd be thinking, man, oh, dude, we have so much to talk about on the rant this week. That would be my first thought. I would almost be glad it happened because I would have like 19 sermon illustrations. I would have like a topic that would last an hour on the rant. It would honestly be like the best thing that ever could happen.
Gift for you. Yeah, it would be a gift. Boys, I've got a restaurant idea that I want to lay on you, and I want to know if you guys want to go partners with me on this. My lady is in food service, so I feel like all the planets are aligning for us to start this restaurant. I want to call it Maybe, and when you enter the restaurant, you sit down with a questionnaire and a sheet of paper in which you hash out all of your political and social and cultural and religious beliefs, and then you submit the document, the dossier, to the restaurant staff, and then they decide if they want to serve you or not. The restaurant's called Maybe, and maybe you get the meal, maybe you don't.
Maybe you get the meal, but it's like the steak is raw, or there's somebody spit in your burger. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Is that on the table for Maybe? Like, is anything on the table?
Yeah, there's different levels of rejection. I want to open this in conjunction with my Brooklyn gastropub called Allergy. In which you write down all of your food related allergies on the way in, and then the chef crafts like a completely custom personalized meal for you that costs bare minimum $87. What
would my tip be on that?
Yeah, your tip 45% $37. Carry the 4. Yeah, I don't know, but I actually think Allergy is a great idea. I'm only half kidding about that one.
Yeah, I don't think you should be kidding about Maybe at all.
Yeah, I like Maybe too.
Because I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. And I maybe I want to invest in that, Big T.
Are you guys in? Are you partners?
Maybe.
Okay. You can take some of that sojourn money, Big R, and sink it into this.
Well, you know,
I'm definitely in on Allergy.
Yeah, yeah. I think Allergy would kill. All kidding aside, I think that would be.
I mean, if you did it wrong, it would definitely kill. Somebody with a fake gluten allergy is going to go get fake sick, and it's going to be real ugly.
That's true. See, we would have to like I feel like the insurance on a place like that would be astronomical. So that's gonna drive the prices up.
Would it be gastronomical?
Ooh, I see you, Pipe.
Baby, after Maybe is a success, do you think we could like branch out and maybe start a restaurant just called No?
I was gonna say, I think the better name might be Nope. You know, just nope.
You go there just to get rejected. I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
I like it, man. I like it. I mean, do we think that's okay or do we think that's not okay? Because according to you, Big T, like you're okay with people getting refused service. Here's my question, man, on a serious note. Yes. I thought, you know, when you put up one of those signs on your restaurant that said, I have the right to, like, I thought that meant you could refuse service to anybody. I thought that was like, I thought we could do that.
Yeah, I guess we can, but typically it's like if somebody like, you know, stumbles into your restaurant with no shirt, you can refuse them service. But I guess this is
What is the extent of this though? Because if I decided to wear a T-shirt that says I reserve the right to smack anyone in the face, does that give me legal right to smack anyone in the face? Like, is it just do we just need to declare this publicly? Like I declare
that's the rule.
Myself legally. Legally exempt from all punishment for hitting people. And if that's all it takes, yeah, I'd say let's hang some signs and start smacking folks.
Well, yeah, but dude, this is refusing service. I mean, isn't there like – I thought there's something like – isn't it like a – is it a constitutional thing or what is it? Or is it not?
The Constitution is a bit fuzzy these days, Ron. I'm not sure anybody knows how to answer that question.
I don't even know what the Constitution was a little vague is. I was just
the all-important – service at the restaurant.
I was just saying that to sound smart.
Yeah.
Thomas Jefferson was not thinking about the red hen when he was or AR-15s for that matter when he helped write that document. So
you have no proof of that.
Fair. I don't. He might have been a very prescient man who recognized the right to reserve. To refuse service to people. I might be wrong about that.
So okay. So we don't even know if you're allowed. To refuse, like we don't even know if people actually have that right to refuse service.
Or what? I think they have the right to refuse service. The question is, can they refuse it for any reason? Like Ted's proposal was, people should be able to. Somebody walks in, you're like, I don't like redheads. I'm not serving you. And so just for any reason. So you got the wedding cake guy. Like that's been drawn out because that's deemed. That's
like a hate crime.
Yeah, it's like a hate crime. It's bigoted. This is political as opposed to due to somebody's sexual orientation. And so that's a whole different thing. And so I feel like if you're in the service industry, you should just assume that it's best to provide service and not refuse people. Just as a general rule, I feel like refusing people is kind of a douche move in general. Yeah. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think you're right about it. But I'm currently looking at a picture of the red hen and the owners of the red hen, and it just got a lot less surprising. is all I'm going to say.
I'm not looking at the picture. Will you describe it for me?
Okay, yeah. So imagine you've been to Franklin, Tennessee, right, Pipe? Of course you have.
Sadly,
you're a Nashville resident.
Yeah.
Franklin is like affluent white people Disney. And the thing about Franklin is every place is cute. You know what I mean? Every place is like unspeakably quaint and cute. This place kind of fits that bill. Like it's a little old, like it looks like the picture of a house that you draw like on your notebook when you're in like grade school. You know what
I
mean?
It's kind of like a little like it'd be like a little breakfast nook kind of
like a little breakfast nook. It's red. Yeah. It's got the little slanted roof and like one door and one window and. Like if you were drawing a house, you would draw like the little chimney and a little plume of smoke coming out of it. You
you're
know
saying
what I mean?
It's exactly what I would picture when I hear the name the Red Hen.
The Red Hen.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And the ownership is exactly what you would picture when somebody said, what do the owners of the Red Hen look like? and which is to say sort of middle-aged college town, like the kind of couple you would run into at like an art festival. You know what I mean?
Are there thick framed glasses on either of them?
There are no thick framed glasses involved at this time, but I may be looking at an old picture.
Well, sometimes people take the glasses off for photos because of reflection. So my guess is there are thick framed glasses, just not for the camera.
Exactly. That may have happened, but far be it from me. I don't. The last thing I want is people like deconstructing my photos on the internet. So I'm just going to leave that there. But yeah, it looks very quaint, very very quaint.
Well, I think we need to get a business plan in place for maybe and nope.
I like it.
I'm unsure on maybe. I'm definitely in on nope.
Nope just levels up the maybe business plan that much more. And what's nice about Nope is that you don't have to spend any money on like overhead for food and stuff. So, you know, people just come in. It does still have to be unspeakably hipster. It has to deliver the level of hipster opulence that people are accustomed to so that they can be told no in a place that's aesthetically pleasing. I think that's going to be key for Nope's success.
That's true. I mean, because it could still be, it could be sort of like one of those shared work environment kind of places, you know. So like, we decided not to serve you food. You're welcome to sit over there with your laptop or something.
Right. You can sit and like siphon off the free Wi-Fi or whatever.
Can I be the Nope guy for maybe? So if the decision tilts towards no, do I get to be the one who informs the prospective diner Nope?
In that sense, you're like the anti-Mater D. You're like the front of the house guy that everyone hates. I love this. I think this is perfect for you, Pipe. So you're definitely the Nope guy.
Okay, then I'm in on maybe. I'm all in.
All right. There it is. Well, we're doing business today, boys. It's an idea podcast, and Ronnie, as we discussed off the air, is an idea guy. He's a visionary. That's why he can't be chained to a desk. So we've done good work today, boys. Let's do some more good work. Let's talk about the 4th of July. Let's talk about patriotism. Let's talk about patriotic church services. Big R, I assume you've got some American flags and kind of pro-military stuff going on there at Substance this weekend. What does that look like?
Yeah, we're gonna open up with "God Bless America, Land That I Love," mm-hmm. and whatever the third and fourth line is in that song. I'm gonna write brand new songs for that.
Okay.
And we're just going to I think the title of my message is America is a Christian Nation. And we're just going to, you know, we're going to do what you're supposed to do on 4th of July weekend at church, which mm-hmm. is you know, God and country. You know, that's what
but
we're
not
do.
In that order.
I meant country and God. And maybe not even God, maybe just country.
Dude, so okay, let me ask you this question. And this may not apply to your church, but just in general. So like churches that lean sort of self-consciously hipster, I feel like a tenet of hipsterness is to kind of bash America and be down on it. Like, do you overcorrect in the other direction if you're helming like a hipster church? I mean, does the sermon become like a warning against sort of nationalism and equating God and country and all that? Is that part of the approach at a hipster church? Like, in a sense, do you over acknowledge it by trying so hard to not acknowledge it? You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's not my gig because I just don't even talk about it. So it's not something I get really stirred up about. So it's like a non-issue to me. So I'm certainly not going to go too far the other way. And I'm not going to try to just like, you know, make my point to all the people that come in that are waiting to hear something patriotic. And nor am I going to cater to the people that are, you know, just, you know, already have their dukes up, you know, like coming in. Mm-hmm. And I just, it's just not like a, it's not a thing for me. It's not an issue for me. Like, my heart just doesn't really like beat too loudly in like some of those kind of like areas.
Sure.
So I'm just not really that concerned about it. And so for me, like, I came from churches where you had to do something. It was always suggested.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Should we do that one patriotic song? And I always said, no, we're not going to do that. And so now with, you know, after planning a couple of churches, you form a culture that just doesn't even engage in that. And so mm-hmm. it's not like we have a tradition of it. So it makes it simple, makes it easy.
Now, I happen to know that you're pro military jacket. How does that work into the 4th of July?
Well, I think that's me trying to show everybody that I'm not a hater.
That's some nuance. Yeah,
absolutely.
But do you wear the Che Guevara hat on the 4th of July?
I don't do hats.
Okay. That's true. That messes with the hair, doesn't it?
Yeah, I just don't do hats. Right.
So there you go. That keeps it simple, doesn't it?
I would love to do hats, but then I would be messing with the hair, and that just cannot happen.com. You know?
Did you ever try a hat, Big R? Did you ever have a hat phase where you're just like, you know what, I'm going to beat this. I'm going to level up. This is going to happen.
Yeah, I did, man. I had the hat phase when I was younger, and I had
through that.
Well, so I had the super long bangs and the rest of my hair was short, you know?
Yeah.
And so I could wear a hat with my bangs kind of hanging out. And so because my hair was like that, it didn't really mess up my hair.
Yeah.
And so I could take my hat off and the hair was still intact.
What kind of hat are we looking at there, baby? A beanie or like a Dodgers cap or what?
I mean, they would have been like, it would have been like back when you were wearing more like the, you know, kind of the black, you know, kind of, how do you describe them?
Like, just like, no, I know what you're talking about, I think.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
a fedora? Or more
no,
like...
No, no, no. I'm too anti-fedora. Gosh, I don't know. Just basic, like black, like sort of like unmarked caps.
This is gonna sound terrible, but like kind of the sort of hat that like Fidel Castro wears. You know what I mean? In those, kind of cap with
kind
like
of
the short,
like a faux black military cap.
That's the Che Guevara hat that I was just talking about. Like that's, you mean? Granted, his have like the star on the front and whatever, but style. Where, it's like a cylinder with a tiny little,
tiny little half bill.
Yeah. Kind of, but like back in the 80s, those weren't like really in, like the late 80s, they weren't like totally in fashion yet. So it would be like a version of that before those
and
got all.
To be clear,
like,
in the late 80s, you were totally in fashion.
Of course.
Just in case anybody was wondering.
Only in the 80s do you use the word totally in fashion too.
Baby, so, what did Ron Martin look like in the late 80s? Did you go through a little Don Johnson Miami Vice stage?
Was never my thing. That was too silly. No, I was wearing a lot of...
You were very serious, weren't you?
Oh, dude.
Serious young man. Serious.
It was all black. It was
tormented.
Kind of, self-serious.
It was like sort of gothy a little bit. You know, it was kind of like, oh, I'm listening to The Cure. And
oh, yeah.
And
moping. I'm moping around.
I'm totally mopey. And
what are you so happy for? You're not paying attention. Right?
Yeah, well, like that, there's nothing to be... I mean, everything's horrible. There's nothing to be happy about, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because it's the 80s and, you know, there's nothing, you know, yeah, right.
It's the 80s. It's not like everyone's prospering financially. Or
right, right. You know? Exactly. The Reagan era, everybody was dying and,
yeah,
there was no wealth to be spread around. So I don't know. We're miserable, right? So,
oh, Judas. It was horrible. Pipe, what did you look like in the late 80s? You were pretty young. You were like
a
kid.
What did I look like in the late 80s?
Yeah, fashion wise.
Well, let's see. I would have been somewhere between the ages of 6 and 8. Which means I was wearing whatever hand-me-downs survived my three older brothers. So I was also at peak fashion because nobody outdresses a pastor's kid wearing hand-me-downs.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so it would have been a lot of like, I believe there was a lot of clip-on ties on Sundays. I remember that. I believe I had to wear penny loafers at various points.
Did they really make you wear a clip-on tie, Pipe?
Periodically, although my mom gave up on that when I was fairly young. So probably by the early 90s, that battle was no longer being fought.
So it wasn't every Sunday that, like, was it just, like, for, like, a holiday?
Yeah,
or
I think we're talking,
criteria?
Like, yeah, Easter, Christmas. You know, I probably had, like, a red, white, and blue one for the 4th of July or something like that. Let's see. I wore – you remember, like, the rugby shirts with the huge – like, the white
Absolutely.
Collar and then the huge wide stripes?
Yeah. Which, dude, I loved rugbies.
Those are especially flattering on short, fat kids. And I was a short, fat kid, so really, really rocked the rugby shirts. And then I think I wore a lot of Minnesota Twins gear.
There you go.
So, yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, you know, I was a fashion plate as a 7-year-old.
Pipe, here's a question for you, man. Did Johnny P, like, did he preach like the, you know, the traditional, like, you know, America sermon on 4th of July weekend?
No.
How did that work?
No, my dad, so when I was little, so it would have been mid and late 80s, our church still had, you know, the Christian flag on one side of the stage and the American flag on the other side of the stage. And my dad campaigned sort of quietly behind the scenes, so not a vocal, outspoken thing, to remove both flags.
Oh, dude.
So I think he really wanted the U.S. flag gone, but it was kind of an all or nothing thing. And so I don't remember all the details because, again, 6 years old, 7 years old, not exactly privy to church polity and argument details. But so, yeah, he was not I don't remember ever singing a patriotic song in church.
Yeah.
Dude, when did it become cool and fashionable to hate America? Like, when did that start? Was it the
Vietnam War?
Was it George W. Bush?
Vietnam.
Well, yeah, Vietnam War for sure. But like, I don't know. I feel like it became sort of a persona builder. Especially for college kids.
Well,
and stuff,
I think it was,
like,
you know, there was the Vietnam War was sort of the counterculture because that was the children of the Greatest Generation. And so they, you know, they were responded to so very differently. And then there was sort of a period of like sort of non-combativeness by the United States. So I think it was when it was really when George W. Bush sent people into the Middle East after 9/11. I feel like is when it really peaked. That was sort of the anti-government, anti-military, and that was also sort of the rise of the hipster generation because that was like my college years.
Sure.
So I think that's when it sort of peaked as like a cultural trend. Although you Gen Xers, you held it down pretty well there for about 20 years in between.
Well, yeah. Our thing was just—I mean, we couldn't even be bothered to care about whether we loved or hated him. Our whole thing was just—you have to just not care about anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But you left, but to you hate left on the America door open. When... Like you didn't take a side, which left sort of a there was a clear runway for those who decided to just dog on all things America.
Dude, well, yeah, we left it open for people that actually wanted to care because they look at us and they go, "How can you not care?" You know, so they kind of went like full, like back to like 60s Vietnam Summer of Love kind of mentality. I mean, that's what I feel like when I'm looking at like my daughter's generation. It's like, no, but we have to care. Like, you guys never cared. You guys never cared about anything.
Yeah.
Dude, she's like, yeah, I don't even care about this conversation right now. Right. You're right.
Exactly.
That's
exactly
why this podcast works, because I occasionally get heated and you guys both shrug. You're like, yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
But Pike,
whatever.
You're almost like more of a Gen Xer in some ways. I gotta admit.
Yeah, I'm not a true stereotypical millennial. I don't attach myself to every cause and
And you're at the very, very, like, you're the last year that a guy can be a millennial for your age anyway, right?
Right. I mean,
you're...
And and when you become a parent at 23, you kind of get all the millennial just whooped out of you. So
that's true.
Yeah, when you have to be responsible as a young person, you no longer get to be a millennial. Sorry, kids. Yeah.
It's true.
That's good, though. That's a good word. Pipe, you know what I would like to hear? I would like to hear Ronnie Martin as Joy Electric make a patriotic song. So get in the studio with the Moog and bang out a little like patriotic anthem.
Maybe we'll make that the new intro. How about that?
That would be amazing. We'll run that as the intro every 4th of July.
No, just every week forever.
Or every week forever. I'm fine with that. Very, very... Absolutely fine with that.
The American rant.
The American rant. I love it.
I believe that's called the Rush Limbaugh Show.
Ah, gotcha.
Ah, dang it. Somebody's already doing it.
Guys, what happened to Reform Pubcast, our sister?
Is that still a thing? I never hear anybody talking about it anymore.
I know. I don't know what the deal is.
Although, to be fair, I'm never in a context where people would talk about it.
Maybe they got so rich off of the Calvinist documentary, they just retired to their private yacht.
Oh, that Calvinist doc, man. That
were they the ones that put that thing out? Was that them?
Yeah. I believe so. I believe one of their hosts was the guy who created it.
Guys, when are we going to do our, like,
our magnum opus.
Our Zwingli doc. I want to do a Zwingli doc.
Right after you start caring, Ron.
Okay. What's Zwingli's first name? I feel like he has a boss first name. What is it?
Ulrich.
Dude, I just love his last name. I always tell everybody, dude, I'm a Zwingli guy. I always like to say that.
Also occasionally spelled Holdreich. So if you want to get a little Reformation nerdy.
Yeah.
Dude, just the name. Imagine having a last name like Zwingli, boys. I mean, that's epic.
Dude, if I had like an 80s metal band, I would call it Zwingli. Holdreich Zwingli. Yeah. Can you imagine the t-shirt potential there, Big R?
Oh, my gosh, man. Dude, I already got like three designs in my head because I'm a creative.
Dude, let's make them. Let's get Jeff from Michelin.
I thought metal bands only had three designs for all t-shirts, Ron. Like, isn't that the point of a metal band t-shirt?
I think they only have one design for all t-shirts, if we're being honest.
That's all they need, though.
Fair.
I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Can we start both of these restaurants and our metal bands? I just feel like we've had three really amazing ideas on the program.
Playing live tonight, it may be.
Well, maybe playing live tonight, and maybe. Holdreich Zwingli.
Holdreich Zwingli. Oh, I
love it. I
knew
it was pronounced that way, Pipe. Holdreich?
Well, it's different spellings. It's Ulrich is the name, but Holdreich is a way cooler name for a band.
Pipe, how would your old man pronounce it? That's all I want to know. How would D.A. Carson pronounce it? That's all I want to know.
Probably like
a little Canadian twist on it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, what is the – I mean, he says Isaiah – and, like 2 Corinthians, he's got to have a weird way of saying
it. Yeah, and he says Roth, too, not Wrath.
Yeah.
Roth.
Like Rothschild.
Dude, my spinoff metal band is going to be called Roth, but spelled like Wrath with an umlaut over the A. I feel like that's an 80s metal thing, too.
Oh, yeah. Just the random accent mark.
Yeah.
That's more like our Norwegian black metal band.
Dude, that's our Norwegian black metal band. It's going to be called Roth. Oh. Dude, I'm literally designing the t-shirts in my head.
And then we just do a spin-off podcast called The Happy Roth.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Dude, we got to get Jeff from Missional Wear on the horn to make these ironic t-shirts post-haste. So have you guys ever met Jeff from Missional Wear?
I never have. Just exchanged emails and had one phone call.
I was getting him confused with the guy from Righteous – or the guy that used to own Righteous Wretch, Paul Van Diem, I think is his name.
Mm,
I still talk to him, but he's not. Did we ever work with them for anything?
I don't think
so. No, Mission Aware got in the door early, and we have worked with them for the
duration. We got an exclusive with Mission Aware, boys. Exclusive, officially licensed Happy Rant apparel provider. So
absolutely.
As
we should.
Those contracts don't come lightly.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
A lot of meetings. They're extremely binding, right? Gosh, boys, have we wandered to and fro yet? Big R, how's your time?
Yeah, it feels very to and fro to me. I mean, what do we have? What's left on the docket? Maybe we can squeeze something in for a quick minute, right?
Let's do a quick minute on, can bad worship songs ruin passages of Scripture? This was a listener question. So let's say you've got a bad worship song. Does it ruin that passage of Scripture for you?
I think the worst one
that we can think of?
I was gonna say, I think good worship songs can ruin passages of Scripture because you get to the verse and then all you can hear is the tune in your head. So whether or not the song is good or bad, you know, you're reading Psalms and all of a sudden you get to the deer pants for the water and you're flashing back to like the late 80s and whoever that was, Keith Green or somebody. And, you know, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul, what is it, longeth? I think they were using King James English. So, longeth. You know, or what's it? Almost any passage in Revelation has some song attached to it. I feel like anything about a river of life, you start to like hear the four on the floor drum beat. And
Roth actually has we have a concept record based on the entire book of Revelations with an S. So
yeah, that's sweet.
That's going to drop in a couple of months.
Are you going to do like a big graphic, like, you know, like the big LED screen background with various images of dragons and like flying scorpions and these there has to be something super apocalyptic and mildly nauseating, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point of the whole thing for sure.
Ron, what's the, is there any like line from a song that will forever earwig you when you get to that verse?
Dude, I don't know. It's funny when you are doing some reading and you hit one of those lines and the song just pops in your head. What I'm more fascinated by is why some worship songs like kind of take us through the ages and then other ones like
the age of Elijah?
Yeah, like things like that, or like remember these kind of ones from the 80s, like I love you, Lord, like those ones. And it's like that will never be sung again. Like anywhere.
We sang
like,
that. You know. Where was I? I was somewhere.
No.
We sang that as like a bridge in another song. So it's like they're old enough now that they're being mashuped. Yeah.
They're treating them like old hymns. Like we're gonna take this thing and we're gonna make it.
Cool. We're gonna canonize this thing forever.
Yeah. Well, a hymn needs a bridge to be cool, and an 80s song is not cool enough to be a song, but it can be used as a bridge. So, they're getting adopted. Like, I'm waiting for Shine, Jesus, Shine to come back as a bridge for another song.
Dude, I've been saying this for years. Like, it's only a matter of time before, like, those 80s Maranatha songs are going to get, like, revamped and everybody's going to be, like, going gaga. Because a lot of those actually had, like, really killer hooks, but they just feel like that era. You know what I mean? But yeah.
Grant Kendrick is about to get rich again, folks.
Yeah,
Wes, how can we get a piece of that action? Can we? I want to get rich again too. I want to get rich for the first time.
Get Zwingli on it.
Yeah, we'll get Zwingli on it. I'll talk to the other guys in the band. And
I always tell people I'm not a Calvin guy. I'm not a Luther guy. I'm a Zwingli guy. That's what I always say.
Dude, we're all Zwingli guys now.
I'm just
stating
that for the record. If they ask me, who are you? I'm going to say, oh, me? Are you talking to me? Oh, yeah, I'm a Zwingli guy.
Well, there it is, folks. We're all Zwingli guys. We have wandered to and fro throughout this podcast. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Scripture and brain science agree. Meditating on God's Word transforms us and reduces stress in our lives. I'm Jody Nisnik, host of So Much More, Creating Space for God, a scripture meditation podcast. And each week I give you space to hear God's word, listen to the Spirit, and pray about what's on your heart. And then we have a thoughtful conversation with guests to help us go deeper. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.